soft like a cool mist, alpine clean. Sometimes, when the steam dams around the chasm opened and sent pressure changes squalling across the city, it came at you sideways, lashing and acid-tongued, like defoliant. "Mr. Mirabel," she said. I turned back from the window. "I'm sorry. I got caught up in the view. Where were we? You were telling me about Sky Houseman, how you think he..." She had heard most of what I was willing to tell anyone by then. How I believed Sky had emerged from hiding and remade a new life for himself as Kaweya. I suppose it was odd that I was speaking of these things at all, much less to a prospective recruit, but I'd liked her, and she'd been more than usually willing to listen to me. We had finished a few Pisco Sours. She was from Sky's Edge as well, and the time had slipped by. "Well," I asked, interrupting her, "how much of it are you prepared to believe?" "I'm not sure, Mr. Mirabel. How would you have found all this out, if you don't mind my asking?" "I met Gita," I said, "and she told me something which makes me think Constanza was telling the truth." "You think Gita found out who Kaweya was, before anyone else?" "Yes. There's a good chance she stumbled on Constanza's evidence, and that led her to Kaweya, even though it was at least 2 centuries since Sky had supposedly been executed." "And when she found him?" "She was expecting a monster. But that wasn't quite what she got. He wasn't the same man Constanza had known. Gita tried to hate him, I think, but couldn't." "What do you think made her certain she'd found him?" "His name, I think. He took it from the legend of the Caluche, the ghost ship. Kaweya was its dolphin, a link to his past he couldn't quite sever." "Well, it's certainly an interesting theory." I shrugged. "Probably no more than that. You'll hear stranger stories if you spend any time here, believe me." She was a recent arrival to Yellowstone, like me, a soldier, but one who had been sent here not on some errand but because of a clerical error. "How long have you been here, Mr. Mirabel?" 6 years, I said. I looked to the picture window. The view across the city had not changed greatly since I had returned from refuge. The thicket of the canopy stretched away like a section through someone's lung, a convoluted black tangle against the brown backdrop of the mosquito net. They were talking about cleaning it next year. "That's a long time, 6 years." "Not for me." Saying that, I thought about the time when I had come round in refuge. I must have slipped beneath consciousness through the blood I had lost from the wound Tanner had inflicted on me, even though I had barely felt it at the time. My clothes had been split open, a turquoise medicinal salve applied to the suture-like gash where his knife had passed through. I was lying on a couch, with one of the slender servitors eyeing me. I was a mass of bruises, and each breath hurt. My mouth felt strange, as if it no longer belonged to me. "Tanner?" It was Amelia's voice. She moved into focus next to me, her face angelic, just as she had looked on the day of my revival in the mendicant habitat. "That isn't my name," I said, startled when my voice came out perfectly normally, apart from a slight rasp of fatigue. My mouth did not feel like it should be capable of anything as subtle as language. "So I gather," Amelia said, "but it's the only one I know you by, so it will have to suffice for now." I was too weak to argue, and not even sure I wanted to. "You saved me," I said. "I owe you a debt of thanks."
"You seemed to save yourself," she said. The room was much smaller than the one where Rivage had died, but it was illuminated in the same shade of autumnal gold, and the walls were chiseled with the same intricate mathematics that I had